people. It is Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Pay close attention. Keep it close to WGN for the next 48 hours.
Right.
Because we will have the weather and the news and all the things that you need to stay safe. And also, Tom Skilling is going to be joining us coming up in just, he's going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour, about all the stuff that you're going to need, to know about. And you just heard Lou Manfredini, who's making a number of appearances on the, on the station as well to make sure that.
Much needed help.
Yeah. He's the guy, he's the man of the hour. When you, if you need something, Lou Manfredini is the guy right now because things will break in this cold. Things you don't anticipate are going to break.
Not just cars, but things in your house and all sorts of stuff.
Right. We're your cold weather station. It doesn't matter. We're your warm weather station, too. We're your baseball station. We're your hockey station. We're your station for all these things. But if you want help in a weather, dire weather emergency for 90 years, 95 years, what is this? 95, right?
Yeah.
95 years. For 95 years, WGN has been that for Chicago, and this is no different.
We got a guy for everything.
Yeah.
We got a guy.
Yeah, we do. We got a guy.
And I don't know what just rolled through downtown here. It's like a foggy snowstorm that just rolled through here. If you see Roe, it's like a complete whiteout behind him.
Right back here. You want to look back here on the CLT
the
and the
TV. Yeah.
Behind Roe's head.
It's
we look through the window out at what typically would be Navy Pier in the lake. He's not quite visible at this particular moment.
It's hard whiter than it's whiter than it normally is when you look at your TV.
More pasty white than usual.
Yeah. More right. More yeah.
Navy Pier, by the way, closed tomorrow. They just announced.
Oh, really? Yeah. I was going to go ride the Ferris wheel tomorrow.
I had
the whole plan for a year.
Actually, those cars are heated, so it would be okay.
Oh, you think? Yeah, okay.
wouldn't be okay.
Yeah.
I thought the lines would be shorter tomorrow. So.
Yeah, they will. They definitely will be. Right. Immediate seating right now. And if you want to sit outside at Gibson's tomorrow, that's a good time. If you want to sit and watch the race cars go around the block.
Will you reserve one of those little igloos for me on the Riverwalk by City Winery?
Right. They have those, too.
Those.
If you ever go down, people don't know about this. They haven't seen it. But this time of year, they put these little like plastic igloos out on the Riverwalk.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sit there and enjoy a glass of Chardonnay and, I don't know, smoke your peace pipe or whatever the hell you're doing in that thing.
They have little appetizers and things like that. And then they cover you in that little plastic igloo.
Yeah.
It looks really cool.
Yeah, I think, again, immediate seating available tomorrow there.
It's a perfect place for you to wear your new winter gear.
Mm-hmm. I have my winter gear. Look at it. I mean, today, I'm in the full Arctic experience now. Wait till you see me tomorrow. And we're going to be here tomorrow.
We are.
Because we you know.
We're hardy people.
Yeah. Well, these are cushy jobs, quite honestly. let's face it.
We don't need to be outside, and that for that we're thankful.
It's almost a little warm. It's just a little sweaty in here now.
Yeah, coming in from that parking garage was hard.
One of the things that we are going to do here today is after 4:30, you have a chance to win a 2-night Chicago Dibs package. That's what they've been calling it at Hilton for the Palmer House, which is a Hilton hotel. And you get to call dibs on over $200 worth of savings in Chicago this winter with one of the three downtown Hilton hotels, the Drake, the Hilton, of course, and the Palmer House. Visit HiltonsOfChicagoDibs.com to book today. So you can do a little, like, getaway weekend. You might even want to think about it for this weekend. That
staycation
might be a good idea.
Sounds like a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
Just kind of stay indoors.
And we're going to get in this.
Pamper yourself a little bit.
Through the winter, they're doing this. And so if you want to take advantage of that and you get it for free from us, stay tuned after 4:30.
I saw the firefighters racing to a scene near me today, and it's time to remind yourselves that often they can't even find the hydrants in this weather because people, you know, shovel the snow over it or it ends up getting covered. One of the things they're trying to say is if you see one of those and you're shoveling, to try to shovel it out so they can find them. Just another reminder.
This is when there's going to be a fire.
That's right.
In some place, some warehouse or something that is, you know, where there are people that are going to be taking shelter and they start fires inside the warehouses. This happens in extreme cold. And then the firefighters who have to be out in this and have to actually do this. About the work that.
Think about that.
Cops and firefighters and the streets of sand people who have to be out and they have to fix things outside. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of people driving in vehicles and that's tough enough. But then the people have to be outside. And doing what they have to be doing in this environment. And you will see there will be some building that gets fully engulfed and they will knock it down and there will be just an ice castle.
Yeah.
Right? It's just totally like an old warehouse or whatever these things are that tend to go up in times like this. It's just this is as crazy a scene as you could possibly imagine for the next 48 hours.
It is. Luckily, you know, a lot of schools won't be in session. CPS has canceled classes for tomorrow. A lot of Catholic schools have.
They haven't announced Thursday, though. Thursday's going to be almost as bad.
Good point. It's a really good point. Not yet. A lot of schools have not made any call on cancellations for that day.
Because they don't believe in science? What? I mean, what?
I don't know.
What part of this don't they have?
Are you listening to Skilling?
Yeah. All right.
But yes, dangerously cold tomorrow.
Ben Bradley will join us in a moment here to tell us about what has happened at City Hall. And in the State House, and all the shocking, shocking, shocking developments, as reported by the Chicago Sun-Times this morning, the state of Illinois, the city of Chicago, will forever be changed based on what happened, what we learned about today.
Absolutely true.
So
stunning.
We will share all of that with you coming up in just a few, right after we tell to Kim has the news headlines about me there. What's coming up? Benjamin Bradley joins us right now for the WGN-TV newsroom. And Ben, I don't think I'm overstating it when I say that Chicago and Illinois will never be the same after the revelations that came out in the Sun-Times today.
I'm not ready to go that far.
Really?
All right.
I hope Chicago and Illinois will never be the same. I mean, we could certainly stand for a little
cleaning up.
House cleaning.
Don't you think there'll be some house cleaning out of this?
Yes, but I think around here long enough to know that the feds have investigated before. The feds have taken politicians' cell phones before. The feds have listened to conversations before. And it does not always result in a criminal charge. Result in voters kicking the guy out of office.
Well, that's true. That's true.
There you go.
Would you like to make a gentleman's wager with me of $5,000? Whether or not Edward Burke
is Bandit, $5,000, okay, Daddy?
I
think that's exactly.
That's where I got it. That Ed Burke is not going to get charged and not going to be indicted here. I mean, it's a criminal complaint, but that's just so the lawyers get to meet in a room.
We're talking about the Sun Times bombshell on Madigan today. And that his
conversations were recorded, and I think
I think it's never good when a politician has to put out a statement, as Mike Madigan today did, that says, "To my knowledge,
I am not under
investigation by the Office of the U.S. Attorney.
Neither the Speaker nor his law firm is under investigation.
Right.
To our knowledge." Comma before that.
I think what is really interesting is the details in this story, and people should read it. John Seidel sometimes is going to join us coming up after 3:40, right at 3:40, to talk about this with us and what the details are, and we'll get into that more specifically with him. But there was a plan for a hotel in Chinatown that was brought to the attention of the Speaker of the House and his law firm for his private side.
Brought to his attention through Alderman Danny Solis, who we now know, thanks to some more excellent reporting from the Sun-Times, was wearing a wire and cooperating with the feds.
I give the Sun-Times so much credit again here. You know, here's a paper that has been struggling lately, has been asking for people to contribute, and this is just another example, yet another one of their great reporting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why
we need
this.
And it makes a difference
this.
In this town,
it
right?
It does. It does.
You know, not to get on a soapbox, but you want to talk about the importance of journalists and journalism and the fact that 2 years ago, we didn't know if the Sun-Times was going to last another month, and now you have back-to-back-to-back scoops by Sun-Times reporters that I think should be doing a good job of informing voters before they head to the polls, certainly in some of these aldermanic races.
Now Danny Solis is not running again for aldermanic.
He's left the office.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be, and then we'd be good after what we learned about Danny Solis today.
Well,
he has a penchant, as it turns out, for things.
Yeah.
If you want
today's
Sun Times reads like a Netflix series.
Yes. It does. You know, the headline is Viagra, Sex Acts, and Use of a Luxury Farm. And then it goes into detail the affidavit, which talks about Alderman Solis wearing a wire and the fact that for the first time, Illinois House Speaker Mike Madigan was also caught on that wire. Again, no criminal allegations against the Speaker. but 18,000 conversations were recorded over the course of at least a year.
Look, you know, the only quote in that affidavit about Mike Madigan's conversations was Mike Madigan saying, supposedly to this developer, you know, I don't want a one-time killing. I want this to be an ongoing relationship, which is, I think, something anyone in business would say if they're talking, mm-hmm. you know, to a potential customer. Mm-hmm. There was nothing, at least as far
there's
as
nothing
we know
illegal
right
about
now.
That. I think what's interesting to mm-hmm. Mr. Madigan today is that Mr. Madigan that the detail of that part of the conversation mm-hmm. might spark a memory in Mr. Madigan that he had that conversation with that person.
There might be some more to flesh that out.
He may now stop and think, what else did I say to that guy? Mm-hmm. Or what else is going on in that? What was that relationship
Look,
really like?
At the very least, it does shine a spotlight on what many of us have called into question as a conflict of interest. The people who serve in our public office and then have these side jobs that seem to benefit directly from their power as a person in public service.
Yes,
but
all right,
we all
hold on.
Have been talking about this and reporting on this for decades. And until the voters start caring about the conflict of interest, nothing will change.
How you doing? Thank you very much, Ben. We'll see you at 4, 5, 6, 9 and 10.
Got it.
All right. Let us now check in. Kim. Rocanjo with Anna DeBlanza right here on 720 WGN. Congratulations to the Chicago Sun-Times on this incredible raft, tranche, bucket, I don't know what they call it now in the modern era, of reporting that that they have done. And John Seidel is one of the amazing reporters here who has mm-hmm. brought us much of this story. And the headline today, John, Viagra sex acts and use of a luxury farm, : Fed's detailed investigation of Alderman Solis. It reads, as I said earlier, like a Netflix show, right? I mean,
it can't be real.
It's really incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. So let's go back to what we know, what your reporting has been on this, which is that Alderman Solis had to agree to become a confidential informant for the FBI more than 2 years ago, right?
Right, and as we previously reported, and I appreciate what you said before, of course I'm a part of a team of fantastic reporters that I work with. And so we had previously reported that Alderman Solis had been cooperating for multiple years in this federal investigation. One of the things, of course, that hadn't come out yet is exactly why. And what the feds knew that got him to do what so many of his counsel colleagues have said he shouldn't have done, and that's wear a wire. And so we've now obtained a document that lays a lot of this out. And you know, you read our headline, and we try and sum it up there. You know,
that's yeah, you wanted to read on.
Yeah. It gets better. I mean, once you get into it, you learn some things. You learn that obviously Alderman Solis really enjoyed fairy tales because he loves any ending that's happy. But what you're seeing here, though, is you're seeing a guy who, you know, clearly, like what we fear from a number of politicians is that they are just using their public office to enrich and ingratiate themselves at some level. Now, the one problem with Alderman Solis, and this is where guys often find themselves in trouble, is he, according to your reporting, he had some money problems.
That's certainly what he told some folks. I think there was a collection service, and there's certainly a lot here, and I've got trying to keep my notes in front of me. But yeah, there was a collection service that came calling about it. It's like a $12,000 debt, and the alderman, who has an annual salary of $117,000, told them he was out of a job. Sorry, I can't pay it. So that we see that he's got money problems. We see that he's kind of on the prowl for for prostitution services and for Viagra. Host of things. There's this use of the farm that was in Indiana that was once owned by Oprah Winfrey. All in exchange, allegedly for public action. Now, I think it's probably fair to say a colleague of mine also has a story that indicates that Alderman Solis apparently thought, and I think we have this through a source, apparently thought that he could have beaten a lot of these allegations and if they had actually gone to court, which of course he has not been charged with anything.
You look at you look at what you guys are reporting, and the dots that led to Madigan, I think, are what and the fact that he was actually recorded on a wire were some of the things that raised quite shocking, I think, to see that this morning as we woke up and we read your reporting. Now Madigan, I said he's not involved in anything, and to our knowledge, neither the speaker nor his law firm is under investigation. But what is it about this development? Bring us through the story of how Mike Madigan was recorded, those circumstances.
Sure, and I'm glad you brought that up because we hadn't really touched on that. So this was a lengthy document, 120 page document from an FBI agent, and it lays out several allegations, including the claim that Alderman Solis was trying to direct private benefits to Speaker Madigan. And that was one of the things that he did in exchange for public actions that he took. The way Speaker Madigan got pulled into this was there was a businessman who wanted to build a hotel. It was in Alderman Solis's ward. An associate of his came looking for a letter of support. He was working with the alderman to do that, and finally the alderman reached out, or his staff reached out, and said, we'd like you to sit down with us and with Speaker Madigan. And so the businessman went, and there was this meeting in the speaker's law office, which was recorded, in which they discussed, which the speaker tried to solicit private business for his firm. He talked about how they do things a little bit differently for hotels in dealing with property tax issues, and they discussed fees. But now the one thing that I think is important to note, it's not really clear what the speaker knew about how that meeting was set up, right? The allegation is that Alderman Solis was trying to steer these private benefits to Speaker Madigan. It does not specifically make an allegation that Speaker Madigan was in on that scheme.
Right.
Go ahead.
Now, and that's an important point here, but what you leave the reader within is the impression that Mike Madigan, as he sat and talked to this Chinese real estate developer, whose project never got off the ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was that he was
in Chinatown, by the way?
Right, sort of on the edge of Chinatown, right? Mm-hmm. Sort of the Pilsen side of Chinatown. Mm-hmm. That he would be that he wanted to have a long term relationship with this developer.
Yes.
Did Speaker Madigan?
Yep.
And that he would take 12% of whatever the tax savings was based on the old tax property tax rate versus whatever property tax rate they could get from him using their law firm, right? I mean, we would assume ostensibly through legal means, and a long-term agreement of $3,000 to $3,500 a year as just sort of an ongoing retainer, if you will, and then I would assume that whichever was greater would be what they would have to pay. I don't know that to be that's not in your reporting, but in situations like property tax abatement cases, that's generally how that goes. So
Terrible, yeah.
So the question is why, when this project never really got done, why did that piece of property have a tax change, and how quickly did that happen? Because that gives us an indication of to get the taxes on a property changed, anybody who's ever tried to do it, anybody who's ever appealed taxes, it is not like it doesn't turn around very quickly.
It does not.
Right.
Right?
No.
And I believe what we were go ahead.
And generally, it's after a project is already going that they find that before they've broken ground, but certainly as the process is in place here, and that project didn't ever seem to take off, which is a lot of people speculating as to what was that project ever for real.
Right.
It's a fair question. You know, like it's And there are certainly, there's a lot more to unravel here. There are a lot more unknowns. This document offers a snapshot of where this investigation was in 2016, right? Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, and we've connected the dots and appears to be part of the investigation that led to Alderman Burke and his legal problems very recently. What has happened in the meantime? What led up to that? It's unclear. This is just a snapshot of where they were in 2016. We know that this investigation is ongoing. It seems to be far-reaching, and obviously we've shared today what we know and what we can report. And when we can report more, obviously we will do that.
You know, I want to just stop on that moment because I think with John Seidel from the Chicago Sun-Times,
right,
who deserves a Pulitzer on this, by
absolutely
the way, already.
I would agree.
It just told us is there's more to come.
A lot more. And, you know, so let me just ask you, put it in perspective for us. This is a city that is fairly acquainted with corruption probes. And how would you place this one? I mean, you're looking at some very powerful names being cited so far, not all of them charged or anything like that. But how would you place this in terms of what you know already, in terms of what we've seen in this city?
Well, it's going to depend on where it ultimately goes, right? I mean, but it certainly has potential to be a historic historic investigation. I mean, this could really be one for the ages, but it's all going to depend on what happens next, and that remains to be seen. And by the way, thank you for your comments. I want to say again, I'm part of a fantastic team. I do not, you know, none of this is done by myself.
Yes, absolutely.
You are part of a fantastic team.
Before I let you go, we'll have a chance to talk about this as this goes on, because I think, as you pointed out, John, there's going to be far more of this. But you have some journalists on this particular story who have been covering this town for decades, mm-hmm, for the Chicago Sun-Times. And
yes,
if there has ever been a moment, you know, where journalism has ever been under siege, whether it's by people who don't like the story being told or by the economic forces and winds that surround the price of paper, let alone, you know, the digitization of information and what is real and what is not and what is fake and what is important. This moment, I think, is something that should remind Chicagoans and the citizens of Illinois that there is really important work that journalists do every day to shine a light on things that would otherwise go unnoticed and therefore not come to the recognition of voters at a time when, especially, I mean, we had an aldermanic election coming up in a couple of weeks, right? At a time when voters need information about what really goes on and what their government officials are really doing with the money that we send them or with the power that we invest in them. And that is a big, big, big moment. And I know the Sun-Times has had some rocky moments here, and I just want to congratulate the Sun-Times on you know, being that important beacon that it has been for this, you know, the past century, once again showing, you know, raising up and saying, hey, we're not dead yet. We're
absolutely
here, and look at this.
I really appreciate that. That means a lot. And, of course, Chicago is lucky to have it be a town full of wonderful journalists and multiple organizations. And so, what you said is absolutely true, and I appreciate it.
Thanks, John. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
Great work, John. Thank you.
Maybe tomorrow.
Stay close, as they say in the business.
Yeah, that's right. I'm kind of hoping for it right now. Watch this space. All right. Let's find out from Kim Gordon. Another find. Tom Skilling, you heard him there, now you're going to hear him here. Whether you like it
yes
or not, brought to us by PermaSeal Basement Systems. They like it.
Well, we like to hear from Tom, we just don't necessarily like what he says.
Oh, I don't like it at all, what he's saying right now. I don't like it at one bit, one little bit at all.
Yeah.
Tom.
I'm getting my face mask ready for tomorrow.
I don't even know what to do, because that's an interesting thing. When the temperature, which is going to be the coldest it has been, as Tom is pointing out, in decades here.
Half a century.
And maybe the first time for many people who will be outside in it, these damn millennials, they never leave their house anyway.
Idiot millennials.
Avoiding human contact.
Yeah.
Part of the millennial code.
If you go outside and you breathe too deeply, like your lungs seize up. I mean, it's like, it's crazy.
No joke. Skin can become frostbitten in as quickly as 10 minutes during the kind of weather we're going to see tomorrow, especially with that wind chill. But even without it, brutal, brutally cold.
I'm scared.
Tom.
not a good day for the deck at Rose House. I think it's probably not the day we want to even go near the deck. But we'll be coming in tomorrow. Do you have your gear ready tomorrow, guys, for what you're going to wear on the way in?
I've already chosen my outfit.
You have your Arctic Blast gear?
I have. I'm in semi right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't have the full thing going on, I noticed today.
Right.
You got multiple layers.
I'm wearing two layers right now as I sit here, including one big chunky layer.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And then tomorrow I'm going to have five layers total, and I will sit here in four of them. I hope it's going to be okay.
I'm just carrying a blowtorch around. It's going to have a flame around me at all times tomorrow.
Blowtorch.
Just a flame ball around me to protect me from the snow.
So if your fingers get frozen, you blowtorch them?
You can do that thing that like stuntmen do where you're going to be in the fire suit, where you're going to wear the suit, and they set you on fire.
I'm just going to set myself on fire and walk
this
around.
This should be fine. I don't know what
that
could
may be the best idea.
I mean, it does kind of make sense.
I'm going to try to get one of those
suits. Is your coat flame retardant?
Yeah. No, he's going to have that thing. And then you cover yourself in some sort of a gel. It works out great. I've never seen it go badly. All right, Tom Skilling.
Roe
joining us right now, and Tom
Anna.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, guys. How are you?
This is as big. We were just saying this. Many people have never ever tried to breathe in this before.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of Chicagoans. This level of wind chill of wind and wind
it's
chill.
Rare. Very rare. There are young people who have not experienced this, or at least will not remember it. We've had something on this order back in 82 and 85, and we've had a couple other cold days.
These kids weren't born back then.
No, I know.
Nope. This is really interesting. And, it's coming in with powerful winds. There are local ground blizzard conditions that are accompanying this coming in. So if you're driving on open areas, you know it probably in many areas already. We've got visibilities down near zero in some of these open stretches of road.
Kevin had a question for you earlier.
Yeah, Kevin.
I may just paraphrase it.
Sure.
What in the hell happened down here? What is this?
It's like a fog snow weird front coming through downtown.
Well, you know what it is? This is airborne ice crystals that were set up into the atmosphere, into the air, by the winds, which are gusting 35 to 40 miles an hour, and they're going to continue to do so tonight and tomorrow.
Oh my God!
I mentioned yesterday, Arctic air masses are a strange, unique animal all by themselves. You're going to get all kinds of strange optical events, all kinds of people sending us pictures of these sun dogs and halos around the sun.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get light shafts, or light pillars, as they're called. These are vertical columns of light that come out of, as you look particularly in the later and early parts of the day, these beams of light originate from light sources. And the reason all that happens in Arctic air, it is so cold, and the air mass is so unable to sustain a large level of moisture, that what little moisture is there is in the form of little suspended ice crystals.
So this is not snow.
Oh, my God.
Not all of it. Not totally. This is part of this is ice crystals, but part of it is
so when I saw the sun, it was
blown through the air.
It was a kind of orangey.
Yeah.
I saw
that,
too.
That orangey, that was the crystals, and now I think downtown we're getting a combination of the snow.
Yes, it is falling, too. Yes.
Because the sky is white.
Yeah.
But when the sky was kind of blue, it was orange
blue
and blue.
From my studio, so that's
weird.
It's like
look
when you look at those Everest movies. This is how it looks.
Yeah, it's very just kind of bizarre.
It really is. It's like very, very unique. That's why I brought it up yesterday. These air masses have an appearance all their own, and it will, for many folks, be kind of interesting and not what they're used to seeing. And I'll tell you what else is going to start happening is you're going to hear creaking and all as buildings start creaking and trees and all.
So, really?
Yeah, go out to your cherished deck, Ro.
Hey, do not make fun of my deck.
I know.
I mean, if anything happens to my deck,
that's
swear
a great
to God.
Deck. I didn't mean to be sarcastic about
it. Somebody to touch my deck.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't
Anna,
touch it.
Take care of him, Anna.
Yeah, good luck to me, right?
Give him a hug or something. I didn't mean to send him off.
48 hours.
You know?
So last night, I got home.
Yeah.
And I hear this howling through my townhouse.
That was Bill Snyder.
And I was like,
down out in Elmhurst. You could hear him from Elmhurst.
Does he do that?
He does.
It was like howling wind, and I'm like, what is that? Because it didn't seem all that windy outside.
Yeah.
And when the mail got dropped off, they opened up my And I guess I got like a, you know, like the little glass door before you get to the real door.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, thing.
Yeah.
And that didn't close. And it was like, it was like a scary movie. It was like a monster movie from the 30s. Uh-huh. It was like, the bridge is washed out and you'll have to spend the night. And I was in my own house.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
And it was like, I was walking around with a candelabra and up the stairs.
I know. Like,
I didn't know. Expecting something to jump out of the closet.
Yeah. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Hey, guys, I've got to read you a text message I just got from my friend Mike Picaro, who's the afternoon drive guy on KENI Radio in Anchorage, Alaska.
Yeah.
He says, "Dear Tom," he said, "I see Chicago has and a huge part of the lower 48 set for dangerous bone chilling cold." He says, "Come on back to Alaska and warm up. It's 31 degrees here today." So I wrote him back and I said, let's see, what did I say? I said, "Funny you should mention that, Mike. My producer, who hates the cold, and I mean hates it, has announced he's considering moving to Alaska
for the winter."
This is Bill Snyder, who normally only goes to Phoenix, you know.
Yeah, that's a good place
Miami.
To go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's debating moving up to our 49th state to warm up.
Yeah, you could winter in Anchorage. Sounds nice this time of year.
Well, you know what's interesting? We got 2 to 3 barbaric days ahead. I mean, dangerously cold.
Yeah.
Then temperature's going to jump 69 degrees from the 26 below we're predicting, not tomorrow morning, but the following morning. 69 degree temperature increase to the 42 we're predicting on Sunday. And even Saturday would be above freezing, up to 39. Could rain later in the day.
And then Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah, Super Bowl Sunday, kind of rainy and windy and mild, and up to 42 or 43.
Will we have a thaw situation on Sunday?
Only briefly. Now, the thing is, a moderate brand of cold settles back into next week, and we get kind of
like high 20s.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. We've got 34 Tuesday and upper 20s Wednesday, Thursday. Here's the deal. The cold air, kind of what there is of it, and it's a watered-down version of what we've got going in the next few days, backs up and then sets up a southwest jet stream, and that's a pattern that you watch for snow because you can bring systems out of the southwest running along the southern flank of that.
Yeah.
And we may have such a snow Tuesday night and Wednesday, and I wouldn't be surprised we see some more. But at least the cold next week, I pointed out yesterday, tomorrow will average about 43 degrees below normal. Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, will only be about 4 degrees below normal. So it's not warm.
Well, wait, let's just look at it this way. We want a headline. I was a headline writer in my previous mind. That it's 43 degrees below normal on
Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
And then Sunday,
it's
going to
be 15 degrees above normal. Right?
What's that?
So it's going to be 15 degrees above normal on Sunday, right?
Yeah, about 13, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just think about that.
Right. A good way to put it. 43 below normal tomorrow, 49 below Thursday, even though the afternoon temps will come up. And
so I want to ask
13 above by Sunday.
So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. This whiplashing.
Yes.
Is not, we've had really cold spells before.
Yes, and they lasted. Yeah.
And they last, and then they gradually warm up. This whiplashing is a fairly modern feature. Am I right in saying that?
You're right. Yeah.
This is why
where's global warming is so uninformed, because the fact of the matter is that this is the coldest spot on Earth. The bulk of the planet is warmer than normal. And we in eastern Siberia have the coldest air relative to our normals on the planet. Much of the rest of the planet is above normal. So we look out our window and say, wow, you know, where's the climate warming? And and the fact is, much of the planet is fairly warm. And this idea that you move from one extreme to another with such speed is one of the features of the changing climate.
We also had a caller, Tom, who asked about when the lake freezes to a certain degree, does that impact lake effect snow?
It does. You can shut down the lake snow machines when lakes freeze over. Now, Michigan doesn't freeze over. Superior has. And the other lakes, like Erie and Ontario, have frozen over. And when
you mean
that
completely
happens,
frozen over? Is
completely frozen over.
Because
shallower lakes. They're smaller.
Right. And you also see, like Lake Michigan may appear to be frozen over.
But it's not.
But it's not in the middle.
That it's never frozen over, to the best of our knowledge. There, even in the years when it appears to nearly frozen over, there's been an open little area down the middle of it, and water movement is what seems to keep that going.
It's 900 feet deep.
I know.
Yeah. It's not like it's not like a 40-foot deep lake up north of Wisconsin.
That's true. And not only that, you have winds that keep the water moving and currents in it. And, you know, just like air, if you can keep air moving, very often you you limit some of the cooling. Now, this Arctic air masses like this one defy that because they're just so inherently cold. The wind can blow strongly in it. But, you know, when you get temperatures like the ones we've got coming in and these, you hear these 40, 50, 60 below readings in the Arctic, if you check in places like Alaska, many times they occur in the bottom of valleys in calm wind regimes, and they get radiation cooling at night in that environment over the snowpack. So it can get very cold. Now, you go other places like Antarctica, and the winds blow like crazy like they are here, and you're in this pure Arctic air, and that stuff can get cold. But it is interesting how different this sort of air mass is from the conventional winter cold spell.
Yeah. All right, Tom.
Guys, good to talk to you. I wish we had better news, but it is going to warm up 69 degrees between Wednesday
just get
morning
through this
and Sunday.
Part.
So.
All right. So let's. Getting through tonight is going to be. It's going to be difficult. Getting through tomorrow night equally as difficult.
Yes.
Right? I mean, this is important to note that this isn't a one-day event. It's really a two-day event.
We'll be below zero from the time we hit that tonight.
What time do you think
that'll
hit?
Right through about 2 o'clock Thursday afternoon. So that's it's about a 48-hour run of sub-zero temperature.
What's it at
a little
right
less
now?
Than that. What is our temp right now? I haven't looked at
Bill.
The latest reading.
Snyder!
Bill!
Two above.
It's two above right and we're going to get to zero by six tonight, you think?
Yeah, easily. Yeah.
Maybe
and
five?
We'll be below zero most, a good chunk of the afternoon Thursday, and then just ease above it, and then start the return rather rapidly to, we'll go above freezing by Saturday, and even Friday should be up to 23.
Now, I know some schools have already called off for Wednesday and Thursday. All of them that I know of have called off for tomorrow, but I think Chicago Public Schools is waiting until tomorrow at noon to make the full call for Thursday, but based on what you're telling us, Tom, doesn't sound like it's going to be lighting up in any particular way.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the wind field even Thursday morning, and the winds will come down a great deal, but they'll still be running about 10 to 20 miles an hour. And married to the temperatures we'll have Thursday morning, even though the afternoon readings will recover, you're going to start the day very, very cold and apparently around 26 below, and then warm up to 2 above late in the day. But that's still pretty cold. And the wind chills are still in the morning 40 to 45 below on Thursday morning. Tomorrow morning, they'll be 45 to 55 below.
I don't want to talk to you anymore.
I don't blame you, Rob.
No, seriously, man. Seriously, I got to go.
Okay, all right.
No. I mean, I got to go. I really got to go.
I know.
All right.
Go to Alaska.
No, I don't want to go to Alaska.
I know.
I actually do.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
See you guys. Stay warm and drive carefully, everyone.
Thank you. And thank you for fine service in this as well.
Yeah, thank
you. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon. Find out what's coming up at the bottom. Thank you. The Time Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Woo! What a day.
Yeah, that is quite a day. Right now, let me just say this. I'm going to make it easy for you right now. Caller number 19 at 312-981-7200 wins a two-night Chicago Dibs package stay at the Palmer House, a Hilton Hotel. God, the Palmer House is a cool hotel.
Oh, I love it.
If you have not been in the Palmer House recently, it's exactly the same, except cooler and better. Like that's you walk in, and you're like you're stepping back in time, but in a beautiful, updated, refurbished way. They just they maintain the integrity of what the original interior architecture is, and the rooms are beautiful, and the event spaces are beautiful, and this bar. But they have this really cool kind of modern bar in the middle of it.
Yeah.
It's a spectacular.
It's
hotel.
Retro, but you're right. They've renovated it in a spectacular way.
Oh my God, it's
beautiful.
Amazing, 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 amazing. And the hotel's 130 years old, something like that.
Yeah,
I mean it's been around. Potter Palmer, I think he used to be on this radio station, didn't he? At one point,
his wife Bertha.
Yes.
Bertha. What a great name. You don't hear of many Berthas.
No,
he was happy to have her go over to France and collect all those famous paintings that now hang in the Art Institute so he could tend to the young lady students at the School of the Art Institute.
Oh, is that what happened? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Mike Flannery knows
also 130 years old. Hey, call Dibs on over $200 in savings in Chicago this winter at one of the three downtown Chicago Hilton hotels, the Drake, the Hilton Chicago, or the Palmer House. Visit HiltonsOfChicagoDibs.com to book today.
1871, they first built it. Then it burned down the Chicago fire, and then they built it back up again.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Beautiful. All right. Mike Flannery has just jumped into the studio with us. You can see Mike Flannery in the Fox 32. And, of course, Flannery fired up. I'd watch it this weekend.
This would be one weekend you'd not want to miss it.
I'm going to appear and scream at the top of my lungs about what I've seen here in the Chicago Sun-Times.
It's going to be a Peter Finch moment. You're just mad as hell, and you're not going to take it anymore.
I'm going to run away from the. I'm going to grab the camera and stare right into it. I'm going to be wearing nothing but a wet trench coat and underwear, and I am going to. This is crazy, Mike. All right, so I read the Sun Times today, and the first thing I did is I called Mike, and I'm like,
I bet.
My God,
I know.
Are you reading this?
Do you see what's happening here?
This is true. Is it
kudos
not?
To the Sun Times?
I give
oh my
them
God,
so
I hope
much
they
credit.
Stay in business for 130 years. They beautiful, wonderful reporting here.
And what they've done here is forget about all the lunacy in Washington, D.C. that we cannot yet figure out. Maybe one day we will figure it out, but still, it's very unclear. This is pretty clear. We pretty much get an idea of what's going on here in a series of reports. Now, again, you know, the Sun-Times were, first on the spot with the whole thing with Ed Burke, and now with this, and it is... it's crazy. Now, you got Mike Madigan wrapped in. We'll explain what that means in just a second. But let's just start with patient zero here, Alderman Solis, who has been wearing a wire for 2 years. And apparently, wearing a wire with developers and other people who want benefits from the government that would be corrupt of intent in terms of, like, skipping the line.
And it appears somebody was wearing a wire on Solis. And it may have been this associate of the developer of the hotel who was wired up on Solis, and then Madigan was sort of just there before Solis then wore the wire. And in short order, after, you know, it appears that he told the hotel developer, listen, go over to Mike Madigan's law firm. You hire the speaker's law firm. You'll get everything you need.
Yeah.
The classic Chicago way.
You know, we've had some politically connected people and politicians come on the show, and there seemed to be this narrative that was being told even up until a week ago that Alderman Solis was some kind of good steward of government and was wearing a wire to try to help out the feds and trying to expose corruption. But it appears today, based on the Sun-Times reporting, that there's quite a bit they already had on him.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Well, Viagra sex acts, use of a luxury farm once owned by Oprah is the headline in the Sun-Times. Feds detail investigation of Alderman Solis. And they break down everything in this affidavit, 1,200 pages.
In the affidavit, there's a part where he goes, what kind of girls are there over there? I mean, it was like Senator Geary from Godfather 2. What kind of girls they got over there? Oh, they're Asians. Oh, I like the Asians. I mean, it's like, it reads, again, it's like House of Cards.
Yeah.
It is that level of corrupt intent and bad behaviors. Everything that you worry is really going on.
You don't even need a screenwriter for this. All you do is you give the actors the transcripts of these recordings.
That's
and
true.
You say, okay, you're Roberto Caldero, and you go to the massage parlor, and you buy several frolics for the alderman, and then he's going to do... I mean, I don't think it's going to be House of Cards. I think it's going to be a whole new show, The Chicago Way.
Yeah.
What do you think? That's a fine podcast, by the way, starring John Cass. What do you think is going to transpire now? What we know about Solis, you wore the wire. You've got these other people that clearly, according to this paperwork that Sun-Times is quoting from today, I mean, these are a pretty clear charges, you know, it does seem like they have things on tape. To me, the thing that gets people to say, well, they don't really have Madigan on anything, because Madigan's only saying that he was willing to help this Chinese developer with his hotel in Chinatown. He was willing to help him legally as a lawyer with try to get a tax appeal, and he wasn't guaranteeing anything. And, you know, so if you're not guaranteeing anything, what is it? I think the reason that made it out today in the way that it made it out today is to indicate to the speaker, Mike Madigan, there's tape. Remember, you had that conversation with that guy.
Well, and again, let me quote from the Sun-Times, this morning's edition, page 12. The 120-page FBI affidavit shows federal investigators listened in on more than 18,000 conversations.
18,000!
That's a lot.
On one of Solis's cell phones over the course of at least a year, while also conducting surveillance of his private meetings and his trips to massage parlors.
You know, and the Sun-Times reporting today made it clear that this extends far beyond City Hall, that this goes to the State House. And I think that was a big step that not all of us necessarily knew this investigation was part of. Put this in perspective for us, Mike. I mean, you've covered politics for...
Well, you know, I've thought about writing a book, and this would be so easy, because with 18,000, you know, I've had trouble with the dialogue when I've sat down to do a novelized treatment. 18,000 transcripts. I don't need to write dialogue. It writes
you
itself.
Got it.
I just plug in the plot line here. No, it's... look, we give way too much power to each alderman. He or she is the mayor of their little wards. We've got 50 of them, and they get to choke, like Eddie Burke was doing to the Burger King franchise owner. They get to choke.
Allegedly. Go ahead.
Again, read that transcript. But even these little minor permits that once, and business licenses, and even after they've been granted, we see, allegedly, that Burke reaches into the bureaucracy, gets some pal of his to pull that license back and cancel it until the alderman gets what he or she wants.
How many people end up, I want an over-under here, how many people go to prison on this Operation Whopper, as Anna calls it?
This goes back to 2014.
Gee.
2014. Now, you know, here's the thing about Madigan.
The over-under being 40. Would you say it's...
under.
You're going to go under?
I mean...
I'm going to pound the over.
Gray Lord numbers. Gray Lord type numbers, which took down dozens of crooked judges, yeah. Cook County Circuit Court judges. But, I mean, there is an argument that if they had uncovered something on House Speaker Mike Madigan, you know, dating back to 2014, that we might have seen him go first rather than Burke. And, you know, and he's a more powerful figure than Burke statewide. I get that logic. So, you know, we'll have to see. We'll have to wait. There's
Do you get the sense that that Bruce Rauner may have spent some time talking to the FBI?
Well, the governor told me he and his wife were headed after J.B. Pritzker's inaugural. They were leaving to go for a 2-week backcountry hike through New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. That's a good place
to go.
Our cell phones won't work there.
I hope there's internet. and maybe at one of the little mountain lodges I think he of course would be thrilled to see all of this.
It does appear that there were people who started to tighten up around this, people who may have seen this coming. And the question is, how long ago were people starting to see it coming? What were they seeing? We've seen some change in behavior with some aldermen over the last number of months, right?
Bingo. We've seen aldermen who are well known to be men about town who are suddenly scarce.
Yeah.
You've seen some resignations in key offices.
Right.
Well, you know, the names, I mean, certainly the poor WGN lawyers might stroke out if we started to recite the names we're hearing in the hallways, in the alleyways, the little birdies that are whispering.
Some of them are surprising.
Some of them are guys who've been used to wielding unrivaled power.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they seem to be taking a duck.
Am I overstating this? And then we're going to come back with Mike Flannery in just a second and see how he thinks it's going to affect the mayoral election. But are we overstating this, that Chicago and Illinois politics will forever be changed from this day forward? Affected?
Absolutely affected. Yeah, absolutely affected. And I'll tell you what, there's more energy, and this is going to put more energy and momentum behind serious reform proposals than we've ever seen in years and years and years.
All right. That's stay right there. Don't anybody move for a second. Mike Flannery from Fox 32. You see him every night as the political editor. He's also political editor on Twitter. and he's the best political editor, broadcast political editor in Chicago history. I would like to say that. But the
far too kind.
Flannery Fired Up. It's going to be Friday night.
Friday night, 9:30,
and then Sunday.
Sunday
again?
Morning at 8:30 a.m. And you are going to make that.
I'm
going to
scream. I'm going to scream at the top of my lungs.
And one of the topics is going to be who wins, who loses from this. And I'll tell you, obviously, because we've already seen Susana Mendoza and Tony Preckwinkle have to give back money connected to Danny Solis and connected to Ed Burke. And there are others. Gary Chico, of course, worked for Burke over at the Finance Committee. I don't think it's clear yet who might be the big winner. But if somebody can come storming out like Peter Finch and just say, I'm fed up, make this corruption and this scandal,
but
which is only going to grow.
I'm going to give you a name here that's going to be ridiculous. It's the greatest of ironies.
What's that?
Bill Daley is the cleanest guy in this race because he was never part of it. Now, as you could argue about Richard Daley and the other, but Bill Daley had not, but that's the craziest thing. He was in Washington watching the Bin Laden raid when this was all going down in 2014, right? In 2012 and 2014.
We have other candidates like Lori Lightfoot, former federal prosecutor, and Paul Vallis, who kind of have those records, but they aren't polling very well currently.
Well, and I'll tell you, I mean, Daley is one of those. There are a number of candidates who are talking about taking away the aldermanic prerogative, this choke point that allows this corruption to thrive and to continue through thick and thin. And he also is rattling the cages of the 50 aldermen by telling them he wants to shrink their number to 15.
Right.
I mean, just right off the top, that would save millions of dollars in secretaries and expenses and six-figure salaries they get.
And Tony Preckwinkle, I mean, she's got connections. Everybody who's been working in politics here has had connections. So the outsiders, and it's crazy to think about Bill Daley as an outsider, but to think about the outsiders, you know, the Willie Wilsons of the world, and to some degree Lori Lightfoot, but, you know, they everybody's had some sort of touch to this locally. It's crazy. All right, thank you very much. Flannery Fired
Thanks,
Up. Don't
Flannery.
Miss that. Sunday night at 9:30 on Fox 32. Bill Kahn Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Bracing for the cold.
Indeed we are.
And more headlines about our government. Two things.
Oh,
might
God.
Just drop tomorrow.
Oh. And, you know, it's bad enough if you're an American and you're worried about the things that you see on the national news about the government in Washington.
Right.
Imagine being a Chicagoan. That's what I, because you got to stop. You got to think, well, things are kind of screwy in Washington. What about Springfield? Oh, yeah, they're screwy there, too. Oh, yeah. What about Cook County? Oh, yeah, they're screwy there. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. What about Chicago? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. But, you know, the top five at five will make us all feel better, I'm sure.
It doesn't usually.
The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. Checking in at
number five.
This Howard Schultz for president campaign is kicking off well. Sure, he was on the 60 Minutes, and sure, he was like, you know, I want to be president. And then Scott Pelley's like, or was it Scott, you know, whoever it was, mm-hmm. would ask him the question from 60 Minutes.
60 Minutes.
Yeah, it was like, hey, but you're a third-party guy. You're just going to ensure that Donald Trump gets elected. Goes, oh, no, I've thought about this. Well, lasted 45 seconds at his big opening discussion about being president in public. And this is an event in New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it took 45 seconds before somebody stood up.
I wanted to clarify the word independent, which I view merely as a designation on the ballot.
And don't help elect Trump, you egotistical billionaire asshole. Ratioed on Twitter. Go back to Davos with the other billionaire elites who think they know how to run the world. That's not what democracy means.
Yeah. Boo.
Right. The Democrats were just furious at him for stepping into it like this because he's been a big supporter of Democratic causes and candidates and all things Democrat. But he says that, you know, hey, I want to take this middle line. Now he's saying, I'm only going to be a candidate if I see a plausible way to win the White House.
Well, how's he going to do that? I mean, at what point
highly
does he,
unlikely.
What to him is a plausible way of winning the White House? Is it the poll that shows? I mean, he's going to get in. The polling's going to be bad because nobody knows who he is yet. He's got to connect himself to the Green Mermaid on the cup, right? We got to figure out who he is.
Share your story about Howard Schultz. Remember that whole Starbucks promotion?
Yeah, exactly.
Start conversations with your barista.
Now, this is Andrew Ross Sorkin from CNBC, I should say, who then pressed Schultz about his campaign's impact in reelecting Donald Trump.
If you were running and it appeared in the polls that your candidacy would help reelect Donald Trump, would you drop out beforehand?
Nobody wants to see Donald Trump removed from office more than me. If I decide to run for president as an independent, I will believe and have the conviction and the courage to believe that I can win. I can't answer that question today, but I'm certainly not going to do anything to put Donald Trump back in the Oval Office.
Yay.
Just waiting for that guy to just keep dropping in.
You
and another thing
are an a-hole! Like that scene from Blazing Saddles. You are the leading a-hole in the state. Right. We, the people of Rockridge, really are disgusted by everything that we're watching here.
All right. That didn't go as planned for Howard Schultz.
Checking in at
number four.
Remember the Belarusian model, the sex coach who got arrested in Vietnam?
Yes, and she said she could do a tell-all and blow, like, open the entire investigation.
Don't say blow. Yeah,
she
I know
could
what you mean.
Bust, what would be the word I would use?
Tell all.
She would have a tell all about everything going on with Russia and our government.
Yes. She said that she was with that Oleg Deripaska, who is the guy that everybody is freaked out about, the oligarch who seems to be the one that's funding that internet agency that was pinging us and hacking us and all of that stuff. And so she says that she knows all about it. She was there on the yacht to hear all kinds of conversations about it. And she has videos from the yacht. She was going to share everything with us. And then she went to jail in Vietnam. And then she got deported from Vietnam to Russia. And there's a video of her being hustled into a wheelchair at the airport in Moscow where she's, I mean, it's bad. It's very bad what's going on there.
It is.
Now, Anastasia Vashkashevich, pardon me, talked to CNN's Matthew Chance about her connection with Russian oligarch and Donald Trump, but she says she's been warned to keep quiet, which apparently she's not good at.
I understand mostly of your question is about Oleg Deripaska, about connection of America and something like that, but I cannot answer. You should understand me, because I really was in very bad condition all that year. I don't want more.
I don't understand why it is that she sat down with CNN to say that she can't talk to CNN anymore.
Well, she
that's
was
like
saying,
after you break up with somebody, going and having a conversation with them.
It's interesting you say that because they went into that because they said she was ordered to keep quiet by the Russian oligarch. She supposedly has ties to Putin and has a lot of secrets to tell. But she said her best protection, oddly enough, is to be out in public. That if she becomes so well known, it would be harder to
disappear.
Make her disappear.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's at least what she's hoping.
They explain me very clear. What should I do? What should I say? And what shouldn't I say? Mm. Something like that.
Who explained that to you?
Russian agents.
Mm-hmm. What did they say to you?
They said to me, don't touch Oleg Deripaska anymore.
Don't touch Oleg Deripaska anymore. He's the don't talk about him anymore.
Right.
Shut up. And they took away all of her videos and all the other proof that she says she had. So now the question is, does she disappear?
Right. She said she's going to continue to give interviews and hoping that keeps her in the limelight and potentially maybe her only chance. It's it reads like a spy novel.
Yes. Sex coach. She's a sex coach. She could get her own show here in the United States as a sex coach.
She could certainly be on Big Brother.
Yeah.
Like right? Ryan Lochte and
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
she could stay with me, bro.
She could replace Anthony Scaramucci on Big Brother.
Because he's out. They got an opening over there.
Right. What does she need? I mean, I'm sure we could find her a TV show. That's pretty easy. All right. Jeff was just saying in my ear, the real sex coaches of Moscow.
I like it. Don't tell
who wouldn't watch that?
Yeah, no, exactly. That's very true. I mean, that might be more of a Showtime kind of play. Let's be honest. All right, top 5-5 continues. We've up to
number 3.
Adam Hoge is on Radio Row at the Super Bowl.
He is.
Mm-hmm, as we're getting ready for Super Bowl E-E-E-E. And he won't let Kickergate go. And I won't let it go either. And thank God he did this.
The show does not let that go.
He got to sit down with the Patriots, Stephen Gostkowski, and Greg Zuerlein from the Rams, and ask them, what's it like to miss a big field goal in a major game?
Oh,
Mr. Patriot.
You know, as a professional, like, that's part of the job. You know what you sign up for. You don't sign up for just all the makes. You know, you gotta be able to deal with that. And I feel like he handled it with all the class and all the professionalism in the world.
Oh, please. You don't go on the Today Show to talk about how you suck.
But that you're the best human alive or something.
I'm so nice.
Sympathy tour.
Yeah, look at me. I couldn't hurt a fly.
He's
or
a nice
kick
guy.
One.
He's an awfully nice guy.
How about Greg Zuerlein, who can hit a 63-yarder or something? Doesn't that what he have already?
Yeah, and he hit that 57-yarder. It looked like it could have gone 75 yards.
Yeah.
Gee. And it was right down the middle.
You just feel terrible for him because I've been in situations like that, and it's never fun to miss a kick, whether it's a game winner, game loser, just to miss a kick because it hurts your team. And you see all the hard work that the other guys put in, and you don't want to be that guy to let your team down. And so that's what hurts the most, is knowing that you've let your team down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Checking in at...
number 2.
Oh, quickly, TMZ reporting that Maroon 5 is not going to be taking questions from the media about their Super Bowl halftime show. They're going to skip that traditional sort of, you know, Q&A thing that everyone else does. Justin Timberlake, Gaga, Prince even did it.
Mm-hmm. Maroon 5. That Prince press conference.
Wasn't that cool? He busted out his guitar and he's like playing.
He just started singing. They should just do that. Just start singing and no one will ask him no more questions.
They said, we're going to let our work speak for itself.
Yeah. Oh, good. All right. A rude plane passenger on a flight from Las Vegas to New Jersey had a meltdown because she had to sit in between two big passengers who could not recline.
I can't sit here because this boat's so big. I'm left and right. I can't even stand sit here.
Do you
want to
come up and stand and find
this place? Yes, please. Yes, please. Because I can't sit like this.
I can't. These people are too fat. So nearby passengers quickly came to the defense of their fellow travelers.
You should be ashamed of yourself, man. What you're doing is so terrible. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, I'm not pulling.
Get over it. Come on, I'm
happy. Make America great again. That's not good.
Why don't you sit in the
kiss my fat ass, okay?
Oh, gosh. Oh, gee.
Oh, God. Oh.
Did you watch that video? At one point, you know, he called her so-and-so, and then she said, I eat salad. Like, I'm not fat. I eat salad. That was her comeback. That was just terrible.
Okay. I believe, once again, that Oleg Deripaska is behind that as well.
He is.
And finally.
Number 1.
Roger Stone, very well-dressed, pleaded not guilty today to charges related to the Russia investigation. But last night, on Stephen Colbert, they reimagined the arrest of Roger Stone as an episode of Cops.
All suspects in the Mueller investigation are innocent until proven guilty. But, you know, I mean, come on.
We're here to arrest Roger Stone. He's easy to spot because he dresses like a Dick Tracy villain. He also has a tattoo of Richard Nixon on his back and, I believe, a Henry Kissinger tramp stamp. Oh, looks like we're going in.
Well, we nabbed Stone.
We got him on lying, witness tampering, and answering the door in an open bathrobe. You don't want to know where his G. Gordon Liddy tattoo is.
Next week on Mueller.
Donald Trump Jr., open up. We know you're in there. There's a dead hippo out here.
Oh.
All right. Golly. All right. You know, I think in the interest of fairness, let's just wrap this thing up.
Please.
The top five at five.
Special Rokan show with Anna DeBlanta. Shout out to the parents of our executive producer, Jeff Carlin.
Yes.
47 years of marriage.
How about that?
To the Carlins.
Congrats to the Carlins.
Now, I don't think I could even do that cumulatively. I'm not even sure how to work
it all
that
up
out.
Yeah,
I'm trying to figure out how to do that. It's not really.
You're a young man, bro. Get some,
as far as you know.
Got some runway.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I keep telling myself. But congratulations.
Good
that, is pretty, that is pretty amazing stuff right there. We wish them the best. They're such sweet. They're a very sweet couple.
They are. Where did they meet, Jeff?
In
college. At Quincy College.
Oh, Quincy College.
Ah. Shout out to Quincy.
The Fighting Adamses? The Fighting Monks of Quincy
Monks.
College, yeah.
Yeah.
Go Monks.
Jesuit school, right?
Fear the monk.
Fear the monk.
Oh, gosh. That takes on a different meaning.
Good. Yeah. All right. Hey, now.
Hey,
we're trying to keep this
clean.
We have enough trouble here, people. I'm looking at the temperature gauge here.
Oh, gee.
And I'm in complete freak out. I've got the, what I did is I hung a big thermometer outside our window here, mm-hmm. the 18th floor mm-hmm. of this, the WGN broadcast complex.
Yeah.
That overlooks the Chicago River.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, it's, well, and now Tom Skilling mentioned to us that we are going to get below zero.
Yes.
And right at this very moment, hold on, I have to take a look over here.
Take a look.
It's not so easy to see.
Okay. You actually do have a thermometer over there?
It's like, yeah, as you can tell. It looks more like, yes, it is. This is an old time thermometer.
Scientific.
I'm using the exact same thermometer Orion Samuelson used when he got here more than 47
nice
years ago.
To leave it for you.
Actually, who's been here longer, Orion or Jeff Carlin's parents? I don't know. Which one?
I'm voting Orion.
Yes,
too.
I'm going to vote Orion right now.
Plus, Orion would leave a thermometer for someone else. That's the kind of guy he is.
All right. It's still 1 degree. So we're still above
on the
zero.
Positive side. Yeah. We got that going for us.
So there's something.
Yeah.
There's something.
Yay.
Does the myth that
one
this
degree.
Kills off all the mosquitoes, is that real? Because people are trying to find a silver lining this
Well, the mosquitoes
thing.
Are dead currently, yes.
Well, yes, I know that. Yeah. But I mean, how does it impact
the larva?
Summer? Because last summer was brutal for mosquitoes and bugs and things like that.
You know, I hear that all the time.
Is it true? I don't know.
I don't know.
I hope so. Because if that's the case, that's nice.
Then what about kill outside. For a mosquito bite right now?
I just want to take you through the hour by hours. Are you just ready for this?
No, we're not.
No, I'm gonna. You know what? I'm sorry. I don't care if you're not.
Okay.
This is what it's gonna be. All right. Right now, it's one. Is that what you have, Kim, up on your screen?
Well, I actually have at O'Hare one, but mm-hmm. in Aurora, I already have one below.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's no. heading this way. Oh, winter is coming. Where's the wall?
Balmy three.
Three.
The Lake Michigan water temperature is uh-huh. the warmest anywhere in this city right now. It's 34, so maybe we should just go jump in the lake.
That's yeah. the warmest place.
Yeah, yeah. Build a wall on the Canadian border.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna do. All right, let's see here. Now, I'm just gonna go with O'Hare temperatures because that's how they do it. I don't know why they do it that way, but that's how they do it.
Okay.
I think Midway is a better indication of the entire metropolitan area because it gets a little bit of the lake and it's getting mm-hmm. north. It's right smack dab in the middle. But whatever. It's going to be zero zippity-doo-dah by 7 o'clock tonight.
Jeez. Oh,
and then by 11 o'clock tonight, 6 below. By 1 o'clock in the morning, 11 below. By 4 o'clock in the morning, and if you're still out at 4 o'clock in the morning, go home! Unless you're working. 16 below.
Yikes.
That we're going to wake up
that's
tomorrow.
That's temperature.
That's air temperature. With wind chills approaching 60 degrees below zero.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Because the wind will be out of the west at 21 miles an hour. at if you're heading off to work tomorrow, you get let's say you get up at 7 and you got to be to work by 9, it'll be 19 below that entire time. It will climb up to a high tomorrow of 14 below, and that will be the high at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. 13 below, I'm sorry, 13 below at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Just stay inside if you can. I know that's not possible for everyone, but wow.
And then Thursday, the overnight low is 20 below, but the high creeps up to like 3 below. So we got that going for us.
Thursday?
Yeah.
Creeps up to 3 below.
And then on Friday, it'll get back to above normally.
And then toward the weekend, it'll feel super warm for the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And to make matters worse, a mosquito biologist just texted in and says, no, it doesn't kill them, and no, they aren't dead. Adults are dormant, they're dormant in warm places like sewers. So no, this is a double whammy.
Well, here's a triple whammy, because I heard if you're outside for a long, extended period of time that your eyeballs can freeze.
All right. Now we need an ophthalmologist to call us and tell us whether
text us,
Dr. Ophthalmologist. You can text 312-981-7200, right? Isn't that what you do?
Yeah.
Just text that and we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
You got 2 minutes to text us, doctor, before Northwestern basketball takes us away. Hopefully you're a Northwestern ophthalmologist.
Northwestern canceled classes for the only six times before have they done that for weather. Since 1918, most times in the past for snow, this time, of course, cold.
DePaul and Loyola are keeping their game scheduled tomorrow night.
I heard you say that.
Yeah.
That's
a big game, though.
Yeah.
It is a big game. Free
Do they have
cover
underground parking?
So they're offering free parking at Wintrust.
That's a beautiful stadium.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a 16th-ranked Villanova, so they're keeping it. Northern Illinois did move their game up.
Who's DePaul playing?
Villanova at Wintrust Arena.
Oh, DePaul. Oh, right. That's right. Who's Loyola playing?
They're playing Northern Iowa.
Oh. We could miss that.
But they're giving away free winter hats to the first 500 students who show up. So there you go. You just got to walk through
There's
minus
your incentive.
50 and you can get a hat. And if you're a college kid, that's a big deal.
Totally.
Anything free in college.
Free hat? I've seen how much those are outside the stadiums.
All right, so we are preparing ourselves for Northwestern taking on Maryland. That's a Big Ten.
The Big Ten's just a monster this year. Another tough one for Northwestern. But Maryland, number 21 of the country. So
yeah.
Go Cats.
I know. Maybe big upset.
Could be.
Big upset.
Could be huge.
They have to really show up in that Big Ten tournament now.
They do.
I was kind of thinking that they might be tournament bound for this season, but we'll have to just see. They're gonna have to really. This last month is really gonna have to be something. Month and a half that's left of the, and then we head to the Big Ten tournament, which will be here at the United Center, right?
Go Cats!
It's always
go Cats!
All right. So, as we like to say here at 720 WGN, we'll be back with you tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, and right now, Northwestern University basketball.